Shall we wait for Marcia?
Or? She's right there, she's coming.
She's coming. More or less.
More or less, yes. Thank you.
Today I propose we finish some basic explanation of the Samatha meditation as it is taught in the northern tradition, based on the Yogacara Bhumi Shastra, especially based also on this Shravaka Bhumi, that means the base of yoga for the disciples. But even if it is explained for on the base of the yoga for the disciples, actually what is so interesting in this scripture, it is already explained from the point of view of the Yogacara, that is from the point of view of mind being the only reality. And the mind being the only reality, as we have learned, has the relative aspect and has the highest truth aspect. About Shamatha, we have learned these nine stages. They are called abodes of mind on the way of perfect appeasement. We have also explained this perfect appeasement is a long process. The jhanas, attainment of the jhanas and the practice of the jhanas is a part of it. But essentially, it is the whole of the practice, because we only jhanas, finally, they are only skillful means for bringing the mind into the state of balance. And eventually, the aim of meditation, whether it is Shamatha or Vipassana, is bringing the mind into the state of balance. Now, as far as the disciples are concerned, it is also in this very scripture where you find this passage on the Anapana. We have the worldly striving for purification and the supermundane striving for purification. Or in other words, we have the worldly aspect of purification and we have the supermundane aspect of purification. They also meet together. They, strictly speaking, they cannot be completely separated. But in the practice of the Shravakas, of the disciples, they tend to be separated. Now the worldly practice of purifying the mind is, we have already explained, is the meditation and understanding of grossness and subtleness. We are learning the worldly purification by experiencing subtleness as the opposite of grossness. So we understand in the this sphere in which we find ourselves, the grossness of the mind is marked by these five hindrances. The mind in this sphere of perception in which we find ourselves, that is kama dhatu, where perception is dominated by the five senses. Just think, what are we occupied for most of us all the time? Only what we experience through the five senses, what we eat, what we taste, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, and especially what we touch, because the bodily sense is the most prominent sense with the beings in the kama dhatu. They are completely based on the bodily touch. And the grossness of this is based on our familiarity with the five hindrances. We have explained these five hindrances. They are kama chanda. We have desire to enjoy the pleasures of the five senses, the good taste, the good smell, the good colors, shapes, good sounds, and especially good touch. This is a leading desire. And our thinking is completely dominated by that. And we live, especially in our times, we are fed uninterruptedly by the propaganda of paying attention to the senses and grab as much as we can. This is our world now. What to do? This has, so to say, engulfed the whole world, no matter whether it is Asia or Europe or America or Australia, all continents engage in the propaganda, enjoy, 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 and get more as long as you live. What to do? We have to live in this world, and we have to come to good relation with it. And the way to do it is precisely by worldly purification. Worldly purification means experiencing the subtleness and the importance of subtleness in getting rid of the grossness. Subtleness is a real pleasure. Actually, the Buddhist cosmology is all based on this. Compared to us animals, and their enjoyment of the senses is very gross. Compared to our enjoyment of the senses, especially the touch, which is dominating, the enjoyment of the gods of the sphere of desire is much, much more subtle. So you have the stages of enjoyment based on subtleness. Then, when you have removed the five hindrances, you can go into the deep sphere of mental pleasure. And mental pleasure is always more subtle than the pleasure we experience through the five senses. we have to meditate to see this very clearly. Most of us don't see it clearly. But it is a fact that the mental pleasure is much superior to the physical pleasure. Why? For this, the study of Abhidharma is very useful. The contact, touch of the five senses is compared in Abhidharma to two rams which are chafing, you say? Chafing each other with the horns. And the touch of the mental sense is like two rubber cottons rubbing with each other. It's much more subtle. But normally we are all attracted to the gross pleasure. But actually those who have the experience of the subtle pleasure, they can enjoy even the gross pleasure much more. But this is not taught, but it is nevertheless so. This is also important of meditation. So the worldly meditation is reducing the gross and increasing the subtle. Getting disenchanted with the gross and experiencing more and more subtle. This is the practice of the shamatha. The practice of shamatha is based on this principle. Disenchantment from the gross and experiencing more and more subtle. So you go higher and higher in meditation when you disenchant from the gross and experience the subtle. This is the whole principle of shamatha. And in the Abhidharma, the shamatha, the sama samadhi, the right samadhi, is described as the eight samapatis, the eight attainments. That means the four rupa jhanas, jhanas based on subtle images, subtle forms, and arupa jhanas, the jhanas based on no form. With this you go higher and higher until you come to the highest possible subtleness of perception we can get in worldly meditation, which is the neither perception nor non-perception. The object and the mind become so subtle that you cannot speak of clear perception, but it is also no perception. So this is called the taupe of the world. Taupe of the subtleness you can experience in the world. If you want to experience still more subtle, you have to go beyond the world. But in the world, you can experience this the most subtle. According to Abhidharma, I don't know. But when you are born in this sphere, you will live incredible span of life, which is thousands and thousands of kalpas. It is all exactly calculated, but we don't need to go into this calculation. As you know, Indians are especially good in these great numbers. So, anyway, the worldly meditation is the meditation on getting more and more subtle touch, more and more subtle object, which is naturally connected with more and more subtle sensation and subtle mind. So, this is shamatha. This is the content of the shamatha training. And this Shravaka, the disciples, they tend to separate this training from the training of the super mundane. This gives the worldly wisdom, is to detach from the gross and experience the subtle. The super mundane wisdom is based on the contemplation of the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths boil down to two truths. The truth of the relative truth, the truth of the world, which is the truth of suffering, and the truth of accumulation or of origin, of grabbing. This is our world. This is how the world goes on. And then you have the super mundane truth, which is based on cessation, and the middle path. The cause of suffering is grabbing, and the cause of the middle, cause of the cessation is a middle path. So there is cause and effect, and the dependent origination precisely explains the cause of suffering and the cause of leaving suffering, and the result of suffering and the result of leaving the suffering. Cause of suffering, ignorance, result of leaving the suffering, knowledge. Only knowledge, which is called science actually, can remove the nescience, the non-science, which is our ignorance of the true facts. The Buddha, according to the tradition, no matter if he is here or he is not here, he is just teaching the truth. It doesn't really matter if he is here or not here. The truth always exists. Dependent origination always exists. The Four Noble Truths always exist. Nobody can improve on that. Nobody can take it away. So now we are concerned with shamatha, and so we are concerned with worldly purification. And this worldly purification comes from getting disenchanted from the gross and experiencing the subtle. So this happens in order to go beyond the disturbance of the five senses. We have to remove the five obstacles, starting with the kama chanda, desire for the pleasures of the five senses, which is the base for all the other disturbances. When we have desire, then we will have, when we desire something, we want to grab something, then we will resist something else. This is natural. So because of desire, there is resistance. Resistance leads to our depression, our worries, our fears. All this is a state of resistance. And it is based on grabbing. Then when we have these two, we will surely have excitement, we will surely have remorse or worry, we will surely have the mind which is working with non-clear objects, so it is, has no light, therefore it is sinking, sloth and torpor, and we will always doubt what to do. This is a fact. What shall we doubt? About the truth of Buddhism. According to Buddhism, there are eight bases for the doubt. The Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, the past five aggregates, the present five aggregates, the future five aggregates, the dependent origination, and the rules that the Buddha has taught. We will always doubt about them because we have not settled the mind on the truth. What to do? This is how it goes. So, we have to understand this worldly purification, which is in a way the base for the supermundane purification, as the practice of disenchantment from the cross. When we have disenchantment from these five hindrances, we can enter into the sphere which is purely mental, based on mental forms. We get into the sphere with the service of the applied and sustained thought, because we are maintaining our attention applied and sustained on our non-differentiated image, which we need for going into the deeper states of isolation of the senses and isolation of the mind on the meditation object. Then, when we get into this higher sphere dominated completely by the perception of the subtle form, we will see the grossness of this applied and sustained thought, and then we can meditate on it, and it will go away because we get disenchanted from it. So we go to the second dhyana, then we meditate on the grossness of the joy or rapture when we see it clearly in a more subtle state of mind. It will also go away. Then in the third dhyana, mind becomes so subtle that it can also see the grossness of happiness, because happiness still has some quality of which we can easily get attached to. Then we get into fourth dhyana, where there is happiness, but it is not happiness. Very difficult to describe. Happiness, but no happiness. But we practice shamatha because we want to experience pure happiness. So how to describe that happiness? We describe it the happiness of upeksha, the happiness of equanimity. Equanimity is a supreme happiness. So you have happiness with joy, you have happiness without joy, and you have the supreme happiness of equanimity. This is what we experience in the practice of shamatha. This is difficult to explain, so people get very confused. No happiness, what is no happiness? No happiness is a supreme happiness. How to explain? No way to explain. And nirvana is the ultimate happiness. How to explain? Nobody can explain. But still we have to go on explaining, otherwise no one will be interested. But very difficult to understand. In order to understand, we have to understand also very clearly this process of getting disappointed, disenchanted from the cross, and experiencing the subtle. And the subtle belongs to the mind. And the mind is an incredible mechanism. The more one investigates it, the more astonished one becomes. So in shamatha, in order to get the perfect peace of mind, we have learned in the northern tradition, rather than emphasizing this states of the jhana, we emphasize the balance of the mind, because the balance of the mind is the essence of samadhi. Samadhi is a state of balance of the mind. Of course, there is a so-called no mind samadhi. No mind samadhi of the Buddhist, and no mind samadhi of the non-Buddhist. If you go to India, I can tell you some nice stories. If you go to India, even now you will find the yogis who can, they can be buried under the ground for 7 days. 7 days they under the ground, after 7 days they get up. They wave on the camera, take a glass of milk and go away. The Pilot Baba. Have you have heard of Pilot Baba? So this can be done, but from the point of view of Buddhism, this is not no mind by wisdom, but no mind by incredible will. This is what also part of yoga, practicing of the diamond-like will. But the no mind state in Buddhism is called the cessation of feeling and perception, sanya vedaita nirodha samapati, where this no mind is experienced by wisdom, and then there is subject is nirvana, object is nirvana. When you have this experience, then you really penetrate fully the Buddhist understanding of peace. For that, you have to be successful completely in shamatha and also in vipassana. Otherwise, no way. But this is also incredible, impossible to describe. The commentary says that Venerable Shariputra, he would never receive offering of the lay people, unless he first got into this samadhi, which the Buddha praises so much, samadhi without perception and without sensation. How can he do it? Yet he is begging. So also, these states are indescribable. One has to experience himself to see how it is. And of course, these states, like the jhanas, they are experienced in a superficial level, like us, and they are experienced on the deepest level, in the case of the Buddha. So there is a lot to learn, but all this learning has to do with the balance of the mind. And this perfect balance of the mind is called the spontaneous, effortless attention. This training in shamatha and training in vipassana combine in the state of effortless attention. So we have discussed, we can also explain these 9 stages in terms of many different attentions. We don't want to go into detail. Asanga has spent 13 years meditating on the Chicken Foot Mountain, about 50 kilometers from Bodh Gaya. You can visit, very interesting place. Now the Taiwanese built a pavilion on it, and there is a footprint of Asanga. 13 years he meditated, then he devised such a very, very complicated system. You can study whole life. But you don't necessarily need, as our friend who came for interview pointed out, do we have to know all these expressions and all these? You don't need to know. But when you explain, you will get crystal-like clarity. And it is very, very useful. Why? We will explain now also, step by step. So, in these four attentions, first you have the forceful attention. And the forceful attention, so according to the Yogacara Bhumishastra, you will remove, of course, when the mindfulness starts, becomes crystallized, but also you will remove by the wisdom from hearing and the wisdom from contemplation. These are the conditions for removing the forceful attention. So, to learn Buddhism, we need three types of wisdom. Wisdom from hearing, wisdom from contemplating on what we have heard, and wisdom from meditation. That is wisdom of samadhi. These three wisdom, they are complementary. They cannot be strictly separated. Because we meditate on that what we have heard, and on about that what we have contemplated about. So it is still not bad to know all these terms, to make them clear in your meditation, so that meditation becomes crystal clear. So this wisdom from hearing and wisdom from contemplation about will remove the forceful attention and will bring the mindfulness to become a natural state. It does not mean that you have to study everything and become involved in very, very deep study, but you have to understand very clearly these principles of the grossness and subtleness. It is the grossness of the mind which brings us to this forceful attention. And we are unable to remove it according to Asanga because we are lacking four so-called prahana samskaras. That means the formations of will that remove negligence, kausidya, that remove laziness. We are working with a forceful attention, so to say, according to Asanga at least, because we are lazy, we are negligent. The non-negligence means mindfulness. Negligence means non-mindfulness. And the Buddha says the non-negligence is the base for deathlessness. The negligence is a base for death. Those who are negligent, they are living, but as far as the meditation is concerned, they are dead. So that's why we need to understand these formations which remove the negligence. And they are described as the conviction, Shraddha. Because we have the faith, we will not be discouraged by obstacles. If we don't have faith, we will be discouraged by obstacles. And obstacles are bound to come because they are there. We don't see them because we don't meditate. It is as simple as that. Everybody has obstacles. It is the nature of being in samsara, is being in the state of obstacles. But normally we don't know that we have obstacles because we don't meditate. So the knowledge of these obstacles, it also comes from hearing and from contemplation on what one has heard. Then when one has conviction, then one will have what is called, very important word, chanda. Chanda is desire or motivation. According to Buddhism, sabbe dhamma chanda mulika. All the dharmas are based in desire. Whatever we do on the base of desire, on the base of motivation. Good things, bad things. The motivation for good things comes out of this conviction. If we don't have this conviction, we will not have motivation. And if we don't have motivation, if we don't have desire, we will not practice. So the third factor for removing laziness, for removing forceful attention, is we have to practice vyayama. Then we will experience some prashrabdi. We will experience some lightness and relaxation, pliancy. Pliancy is happiness. Now Visuddhimagga explains very clearly the same principle. You read the passage in Visuddhimagga concerned with the meditation on the breath. It explains it in different words. That is why it's so interesting to study different systems, but explains exactly the same thing. It explains when you meditate on the breath, at first the breath will be very gross because you have no happiness in breathing in and breathing out. When you have happiness in breathing in and breathing out, you will, Visuddhimagga explains, you will watch, experience by yourself that due to this happiness of breathing in and breathing out, the breath, your object of meditation, becomes more subtle. When the breath becomes more subtle, automatically the sensation and the mind differentiating the breath will become also more subtle. If you get more understanding of the subtle, you will detach from the subtle. When you detach from the subtle, when you detach from this happiness you are experiencing by breathing in and breathing out, what will happen? You will see by yourself, experience by yourself, nobody needs to tell you, that in virtue of detachment from the subtle, detachment from the happiness, you will experience still more subtle breath and more subtle sensation and more subtle mind. And this is how you go into deeper and deeper state of the balance, perfectly balanced mind. So this explains more or less the same thing in a different way, and it is a very powerful explanation. So once you have some insight into the subtle, into the prashabdi, into the lightness, subtleness, straightness, relaxation, pliancy. What will happen? You will work on your mindfulness. So due to these four things, your mindfulness will come to stability. This happens in the we have explained in the third and the fourth stage. Then the awareness can remove the defilements. And it happens especially the all gross defilements are removed in this fifth and sixth stage. The sixth stage, we have said, it's a shamayan. It means no more gross defilements. So your awareness has crystallized. When awareness has crystallized, no more gross defilements. So you find more and more satisfaction in meditation. You won't be distracted by anything else because you feel this genuine happiness and at the same time detachment. Why? Because you have worked properly. What means working properly? Restraining mind when it needs to be restrained. Lifting up mind when it needs to be lifted, and detaching from the mind when it attains balance. When you these three are well handled, you go higher and higher and higher. And what means going higher? Not applying insufficient effort or not applying too much effort, so your awareness can come fully into bloom, and you can get the deeper appeasement, the seventh stage, which leads to the one-pointedness of the mind. Then when the one-pointedness of the mind becomes a habit, you are in samadhi. So these are the eight prahana samskaras, which complementary to these nine stages make you a perfect meditator. You develop conviction about what you're doing, you develop desire for what you're doing, you develop the practice of that, you develop the state of pliancy, which will lead to continuity in mindfulness, that will lead in continuity in awareness, that will lead to equal effort, and habit of equal effort will lead to samadhi, which will stay. So this is a training. And this training goes deeper and deeper as one is practicing and having more and more understanding about this practice until it becomes crystal clear. So that much for now. Too many informations lead to what? Mental diarrhea or mental constipation. So let us leave it here. Our time is fulfilled, and please think about it, and it will certainly enrich your understanding of what you are doing. And when we understand well what we are doing, only then we can do it to the best of our ability. When we don't understand what we're doing, we will find it very hard. Is it true? So it's not bad to read these books and get a crystal clear understanding, so that we can also share it with others and experience it in our practice. Okay, so that much for now. What comes next is a break or question and answers. What is better? Question and answers? Or would you like some break before we start? Some break, 15 minutes break. Then we do question and answers, then we do one more sitting, then we do recitation, and off we go to the land of dreams. According to Buddhism, this our samsara is a land of dreams. So I hope we meditate well so that we will wake up. Okay. Thank you.